As Basecamp Live listeners, you already know that one of the most important decisions we make as parents is choosing the right school for our children. After all, they spend so many of their waking hours there, and the voices and influence of teachers and peers and the very subjects they study shape them in such profound ways. That's why I'm so excited about today's guest. He leads one of the most influential and ambitious foundations serving Christian education, and he brings a front row perspective on the exciting growth that we're seeing across the country. His insights will not only encourage you as a parent and as an educator, but give you a bigger picture of how Christian schools are helping form the next generation in faith, wisdom, and character. Join us for this inspiring conversation that you don't want to miss here on Basecamp Live.
Mountains, we all face them as we seek to influence the next generation. Get equipped to conquer the challenges, summit the peak, and shape exceptionally thoughtful, compassionate, and flourishing human beings. We call it Ancient Future Education for Raising the Next Generation. Welcome to Basecamp Live. Now your host, Davies Owens.
Welcome to another episode of Basecamp Live. Davies Owens, your host, here with you on the journey to raise the next generation. I want to jump right into some shout outs. Always good to hear from folks. You can always email me, info@basecamplive.com. I get emails every week, which really makes my week when I get to hear from you. And I want to just say a shout out to Ann Lowry Forrester, head of school at St. Augustine School in Ridgeland, Missouri, as well as David Bryant, head of school at Providence Classical Christian School in Oxford, Georgia. Appreciate you guys listening, being a part of the Basecamp Live community, as well as Zipcast. In this episode, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Wilson Hill Academy and the Champion Group. And of course, thank you to Zipcast, our own organization that partners with your schools around the country, continuing to bring high quality communication each week. By the way, we are completely full for the fall at Zipcast. If you've thought about, gosh, that'd be a great thing for our school, you can still go to zipcast.media. We have a whole cohort of schools joining in January that we want to get set up this fall. So it's definitely not too late to reach out to us. In this episode, I had the privilege of sitting down with Daryl Jones. He's the president of the Stanley M. Herzog Charitable Foundation, and he's served in that role since the foundation began back in early 2021. I've had the joy of getting to know Daryl and walking the journey with him. I'm a coach with the Herzog Foundation, so I know the organization very well, and I can tell you that their impact right now is significant in Christian and classical Christian schools, really the broad Christian school movement. Prior to joining the Herzog Foundation, Daryl was a senior pastor at Grace Evangelical Church in St. Joseph, Missouri for more than 20 years. Please join me now for this conversation with Reverend Daryl Jones. Well, Daryl Jones, welcome to Basecamp Live.
It is great to be with you, Davies. Always enjoy spending time with you, whether we're together in person or whether we're online like this.
Absolutely.
So great to be here. Thank you.
I have so looked forward to getting you on Basecamp Live. I have such a heart and a joy for what you guys are doing with the Herzog Foundation. Of course, I've personally been a part of that as a coach with Spiritual Formation and the Parent Partnership. And I'm so excited about letting folks hear a little bit of your story. Why don't we just start out a little bit? You spent how many decades in local church ministry before
I pastored. I pastored for 35 years in the local congregation, and really fell in love with the Bride of Christ. I say I fell in love with the Bride of Christ. There were times I told the Lord, "I love you, Lord, but your bride is driving me crazy." But all in all, it was a pleasure being a steward of the bride for 35 years. The first 11 years was all youth ministry, full time in youth ministry. So we share that.
I think there's a high probability, if we could find some old photos, that you and I are probably with our respective youth groups at some youth specialties event or something.
I'm confident. We did a lot of those, and those were good days.
Those were good days. Well, and now here you are in leading the Herzog Foundation. This is a massive change and an amazing story. Tell folks a little bit about not only how you got into this role, but just a little bit of the backstory of what Herzog Foundation is all about. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great blessing. It was a blessing all those years pastoring and leading the church. But what a blessing to be involved in student discipleship around the country. On one hand, I've told my wife Tammy and I have talked about it, that it's almost like the Lord has brought us full circle now to be able to invest in a ministry that's looking to make disciples of young people. And so a great treat for us, certainly at this point in our lives, but also at this point in American history. I mean, we're looking at an interesting time where, frankly, the K-12 public school that I grew up in and that my wife grew up in, it doesn't exist anymore. The buildings still exist, but the education system has changed radically from, you know, 40 years ago or more when, you know, when we were growing up in grade school, elementary school, and in high school. And that change, that fundamental philosophical change in public education is what, for me, has been such an important factor in coming alongside the Herzog Foundation and say, let's do this. Let's go change the country. I was fortunate to be the very first hire for the foundation. January of 2021 was when I began as president, to be able to really be a part of watching it be built from the ground up, traveling the country, talking to seasoned educators. Davies, I think that's when I met you, was in those first 6 months.
Very early on. That's
foundation,
right.
Early on. And talking to great voices in Christian education to see what the issues were and how the Herzog Foundation could steward our resources to help create a movement.
Well, I want to dig in here in just a moment to what I always call like the yellow, you know, we're talking about just the changes that are hard for us to sometimes realize how seismic those shifts have been just in education in America in general and the opportunity with Christian education. I always say the yellow buses are still yellow like they were 30 years ago, but they're taking you to a very different place. So that's changed a lot.
Yeah, but it's true.
But as far as just for those who don't know the story, because it's such a remarkable story of Stan Herzog's vision and what he launched and how different you are from a typical foundation that's, you know, underwriting building and all that's important too. But I love what you guys are doing. Just give just a real quick explanation of the vision there.
Sure. Mr. Herzog raised a whole lot of money through the course of his life. His wealth was pretty incredible. And when he, you know, when he was healthy and alive and well, he had written up what he wanted to happen to his company and to his estate. And he wanted it completely to the company to be sold. And he wanted all of the proceeds of that to go to fund the Stanley M. Herzog Charitable Foundation. First thing that he ever put his name on regarding his philanthropy, but he wanted the mission to be for the foundation to be a catalyst for a movement towards K-12 Christ-centered education across the country. Wow. And so that's what we do. And so the board, he handpicked the board that he wanted to steward his affairs. He knew them. He knew the way that they thought. And they have been pretty diligent and laser focused on how we want to spend the dollars. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, a lot of organizations just have one, you know, foundations have one employee that writes checks and they just grant all over the country. But this board really wants us to be involved in strengthening the Christian education movement. So we're not a grant writing operation.
Yeah.
We're really a doing organization. So a number of different initiatives that we've created with some really gifted and godly people on our team to really, you know, raise the standard and help strengthen the movement across the country.
Well, it's such a unique and fresh approach. And towards the end, we'll give just some more details for how folks can learn more and get involved. Obviously, you know, it's one of those almost too good to be true situations because people think, okay, wait, you're going to cover all my costs to do training. And you guys have what, 35, 40 plus different training from board governance and school safety and parent engagement. So if you're a school educator, boy, this is a great resource. And we'll talk some more about that. But let's go back to kind of what we're calling kind of the yellow bus conversation. Mm-hmm. Daryl, you know, looking out there, I think looking at the changing landscape, I'm just curious, you have a vantage point that if you have just looking kind of nationally, even internationally at what's happening in Christian education, you know, when you think about just some of those changes or problems, I remember 20 years ago talking to Christian parents who were just very convinced that they felt God's call to send their kids into public schools to be salt and light and all of that. And, you know, that is changing. I mean, I think that's a pretty reasonable desire, but boy, it's a different world out there. So again, talk a little bit more about the changes that you're seeing
sure.
and then the awakening and the discovery for so many of Christian education.
Well, you know, as a retired pastor of 35 years, I am all about being salt and light. I mean, that's what Jesus called us to be, is salt and light. But I think the analogy that we're going to send second graders up against the Board of Education regarding books that are in the library is really not the best analogy or the best use of the analogy of being salt and light. I would encourage Christian families to put their children in Christian schools for the sake of making disciples that are then salt and light to the community. And I think where students can best be salt and light in the community is in their local church youth group, in the local church. That's where Christian school kids can be salt and light and come alongside, you know, the old youth pastors, Davies, come alongside the old youth pastors, and let's win the pagan kids, quote unquote, to Jesus. And that's where I think they can be salt and light. But to send them into public education that in 2025 has really become the indoctrination environment from the teachers' unions is really a challenge as a Christian grandparent. You know, the idea that, you know, that's the goal of parenting is to export to these camps that, you know, that fundamentally are on a different value system. You know, who's raising our kids? Who's raising our grandkids? Those are the questions that Christians and conservatives need to be asking. And are the people raising our kids? Do they share our values? Do they share our faith values? And I think when you look at public education today, individual teachers may share the values.
Right.
But the system doesn't share faith values at all.
Well, it seems like, too, is a, you know, a lot of times the church has, I think, understandably been in a challenging spot, or I should say pastors, to stand in the pulpit and say, you need to put your children into Christian schools. And I think they've always, historically, it's been a very conflicting position because some families can't afford it. And, you know, some families, you know, maybe in homeschools, obviously a great choice as well. But I think that seems like that. Do you see a shift there in terms of the way sort of churches are guiding families? Because that seems like the stakes are a lot higher today.
Yeah, absolutely. As I travel around the country and have opportunity to talk to pastors and even a number of, you know, pastoral ministry organizations that are reaching out to us, hey, would you come and share with pastors? Because they're asking, how do they do this in a changing landscape in American culture? How can they, as the church, be that voice, the moral voice in a community and embrace Christian education, whether it's homeschool, whether it's Christian school, whether they open their buildings. And I would just say, again, as a 35-year retired clergyman and an 11-year full-time youth pastor, where a church really has a passion for youth and for children, they really, in 2025, need to consider an education ministry, whether that's embracing the homeschool families in the church, whether that's, you know, embracing the Christian school down the street, or whether that's opening up the doors of the building of the church 5 days a week when the building is vacant to help families disciple their children with a rigorous academic education that also embraces the Christian faith. I mean, it's just, it's a new day. And, you know, one of my favorite periods to study in American history is the Revolutionary War. Mm. And looking at how Britain, King George was not so concerned with the quote unquote farmers with pitchforks in the colonies. He was far more concerned with what he called the black-robed regiment that continued to stir up seeds of revolution on every corner in church buildings across the colonies. Wow. That was his concern. And I think it is interesting to see that, honestly, Davies, the black-robed regiment is rising again. Yeah. And finding their voice and recognizing the issues that are going on in education, certainly the philosophical shift in the foundation of public education versus Christian education, but also even just looking at the academic rigor of education. Is public education a good product? Right. And when you look at, you know, the test scores that are produced every year from the Department of Education across the country, I mean, I think the last report card said that across the country, 37% of fourth graders are able to read at fourth grade level. Yeah. 37% are able to read. Yeah. How is that a passing grade?
Well, and you think in any other industry, if that was coming off the end of your assembly line, you'd be bankrupt as a business. I mean, you can't
put
products like that out there. I think there's, I mean, I've read of, you know, certain families even bring lawsuits against the school system to say, hey, you're not even delivering what you say you're going to deliver, much less leaving aside all the political and the,
well, for sure,
the religion, if you will, that's being taught. Yeah. So it's a,
well, it's interesting to me to see how certainly, you know, public education has fundamentally changed in a couple of different areas, both philosophically as well as the academic product. But the other shift that's happening across the country is pastors that are seeing it. But here's the other thing. Families are seeing it.
Absolutely.
And legislators are seeing it. I mean, as we record this, I think there are like 18 states that have some version mm-hmm. of education choice. And 5 years ago, there were zero states. Mm-hmm. Now, whether somebody's for or against the idea of education choice, my point is the landscape is shifting where even state capitals are saying, this is broken and yeah. there have got to be new options.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And so there is an overall rise of interest and awareness and desire. And I want to take a break and come back. And I want to talk a little bit about just the way that, speaking of parents, the perception of school sort of being an outsourced, I would say Christian education shouldn't be an outsourced mindset, but historically you drop your dry cleaning off to get cleaned, your car to get the oil changed, you drop your kid off at the school to get educated. And it's like that model doesn't work because biblically it is the job of the parent to really raise that child up and that collaborative effort between the Christian school and the home. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. So why don't we take a quick break? We'll come right back and continue our conversation. During this short break, I have a special invitation to all school leaders, administrators, and teachers. I want you to imagine for a moment stepping away from your everyday routine at school and diving deep into the rich foundations of Christian education. Surrounded by world-class scholars, seasoned classroom teachers, and administrative experts with years of experience running schools with a lot of wisdom to share. That's exactly what the Herzog Foundation's Institute is offering. I've had the joy of serving as a training coach for the last few years, leading their 2.5-day training on spiritual formation and another one on parent engagement. They offer close to 50 unique training events, ranging from board governance to marketing to classroom best practices. They even offer a training on how to teach the great books. And the best part of all, well, thanks to the generosity of the Herzog Foundation, these training events, including lodging, are completely free for Christian educators. Institutes are located around the country in beautiful locations, including at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., and the Reagan Library in Santa Barbara. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Check out the details at theherzogfoundation.com. I'm here with my friend Joanna Hensley, head of Lower School at Wilson Hill Academy, to tell you about their exciting new program. Maybe you already know about Wilson Hill Academy. We talk about Wilson Hill all the time on Basecamp Live. They're known for their really effective and helpful online classical Christian education they offer. They have lively courses for students in grades 3 through 12. But what you may not know is that Wilson Hill is now offering a rich early learning program they call Forma for students in K through second grade. I'm here with Joanna. Joanna, tell us more.
Oh, thanks, Davies. Forma is such a wonderful way to begin a lifelong love of learning.
You know, we talk often about the cautions of technology. So let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. Are you encouraging kindergartners to be on Zoom all the time? Is that what this is?
Absolutely not, Davies. Forma does not involve putting five-year-olds on Zoom. Forma is a program that gives to parents valuable guidance from an experienced mentor teacher who walks them through a carefully curated curriculum for teaching reading, math, nature study, and enrichment like picture study and music, all within a like-minded, encouraging community.
I love what you guys are doing, especially for children in those younger ages. How can folks learn more about what you're doing with Forma?
They can visit our website, wilsonhillacademy.com/Forma, Forma.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Joanna. Daryl, this idea of Christian education, we always talk about the three-legged stool or the three points on the triangle of the home and the school and the church. And, you know, we look in the Bible and like, well, clearly there's a mandate for us as parents to raise up our children. And there's clearly a mandate for church. And then there's a school thing that kind of like, where does that fit in? And so how do you sort that out for folks, especially today in a world where there's, as we were saying before break, it's such an outsourced mindset. I'm just going to let the school do it for me.
Yeah.
What do you say about that to parents and to educators?
Well, I think there's just a whole theology of parenting and what it means to make disciples. And God's plan from the beginning was to put these little minds and these little lives in these pods where two more mature, experienced people are helping shape the lives and the foundation and the minds of these little people. That was God. The whole idea of family was God's idea. And And the idea that we would then export that to someone else, good to use, you know, good to have options, good to use resources. But I think the idea that the parents are still in control and the parents are still engaged for this brief time in their lives where they are focused on raising these children. And, you know, I'm speaking now as, you know, as the 60-year-old grandpa who's looking back on life and saying, wow, they really do grow up so fast. And everybody told me that. But my daughters have almost, my oldest daughter has now been out of my house longer than she was in my house.
Wow.
How is this possible? You know, I'm not that old. I don't feel like I'm that old. But we really did have them for such a brief period that I just knew when we were raising our daughters, they were going to live in our house forever. Yeah. And we're going to try and salvage a life. They are not going to live in our house forever. It's my wife and I twice as long without them as we had them in our life. So to take this season seriously is really the responsibility of every parent.
Have you seen that statistic? I still get teary every time I state it, which is 75% of the time you will spend over the course of your entire life with your children is come and gone by the age of 12, and 90% is come and gone by the time they're 18. And if you really think about it, I mean, they're meant to leave and cleave, but boy, does that 12-year go fast.
It goes very quickly.
Which is what you're talking about, which is to the point that therefore, if there's ever a time to lean in, it's during those years. It's not, right. It's not a, hey, I found a Christian school. Let me just drop them off and do the, you know, have them, you know, put some Jesus dust on them and send them back home. You know, you really have to kind of partner in that. And I think it's hard because again, we're in a moment right now where busyness is at the highest level ever, fatigue, you know, working two jobs, trying to handle it all. Again, what, just some wisdom you have from what you're seeing with best case scenarios of partnerships that work really well. What are you seeing?
Well, it works best when the parents are in the driver's seat and are monitoring what's going on with their children in the education of their children. Honestly, if COVID had any silver lining at all, it's that parents across the country got a glimpse of the classroom and began saying, what in heaven's name is this, right? What's happening? But I think for Christian parents to continue to engage and to see both the youth ministry at the church and the education ministry of the school as resources to help the parents in making disciples and followers of Jesus Christ that are academically prepared to be salt and light in the world, as well as spiritually prepared to be salt and light in the world. So, you know, my middle daughter, our middle daughter is a special ed teacher. She's in a Christian school serving, which is a great ministry for, you know, very unheard of in Christian education. But she would tell me at one point she was, you know, doing all of her practicum in public education. And she said, you know, Dad, she said, the families that I need to talk to aren't coming to parent-teacher conference. And the parents that I don't need to talk to are coming 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea that, you know, being engaged in, you know, the education of your kids and not simply exporting them, you know, number one, in Christian school, you're dropping them off. You are financially invested. But to continue to be emotionally invested, you know, in what's going on in their lives. How are they processing the day at school and those, you know, dinner time conversations that are becoming more and more rare in American history, but a necessary component to healthy family life.
Yeah, that's so important. And you know, I've often said those high school years and now with kids, now minor, all three of mine are now young adults and moved out in the world. We still get to have that role to play, kind of more of a consultant role maybe, but you know, it never really ends. God's designed it to always have this wonderful integration, certainly between us as the family and the formation of our children. But I love kind of staying on this theme of the idea of the integration of faith and learning. I think a lot of people have historically seen Christian education as basically, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic is always the same in every school. And then we just get back to, you know, do chapel on Friday and Bible class on Thursday, and that's a Christian school. It's a lot more than that. I'd be curious, you know, how would you frame this for a family that's saying, just help me understand the importance of faith and learning, and that you know, we want young people that do not have kind of a dualistic, you know, go to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week it's not. I mean, how is that helping form children to really have a holistic faith?
Well, I think it's interesting that Jesus' description of himself was that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If he would have said, I am the way and the life, then I think you could have a dualistic view of, you know, realistic reality, truth, and spiritual existence. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in a sense, every academic discipline that is interested in truth is going to land at the feet of Jesus, who is truth. And I think what Christian education is able to do uniquely is to weave together the truth of the reality of what God created via language, via mathematics, via art, via music, what God has created, to begin to weave that back into the very source of truth that lands not simply with a theocracy, but a Christosity, where Christ is really at the center and that God is the head of it all. And to connect those dots in an intentional way, that the God of the universe also knows you, and he created you, and the hairs of your head are numbered, and there's not a day that you will exist on this planet or in eternity where you escape him. I mean, that foundation gives me, I find more comfort in his existence than I do in my own, you know?
Amen to that. Yeah, we would be in trouble if it's just up to us, which is sort of the American, right, you know, gospel of, you know, it's all about you, and it's all about, you know, your own personal pleasures and desires. And this is what's so important about that integrated community. You know, along those lines, I often quote, I'm sure you're familiar with Chap Clark, who I think was a speaker back in the day. Many of our
absolutely. The great Chap Clark.
Who's been on before. And Chap's book, Sticky Faith, and I often quote in there, he talks about what he calls a 5-to-1 ratio, which is, he said, when you really got the research he did in his book was, why is it that, you know, I think Barna statistically, 20% of kids that are in Christian homes and Christian schools end up continuing their walk with Christ. This was years ago. It's probably, unfortunately, a lot less than that now. But he said, of those who do go the distance, why is that happening? And he identified the 5-to-1 ratio, which was, in addition to mom and dad living out, however imperfectly, their faith, their children had other people around them that were reinforcing those, you know, that walk with Christ. So again, your whether it's your coach or whether it's your teacher, these are fellow collaborators, if you will, in forming that faith. And I talk a little bit about that, because this is really, it is a communal effort to raise up a generation.
Sure, it absolutely is. And certainly Christian education provides that kind of an environment, Monday through Friday, 7 hours a day, 10 months out of the year. And that is essential. And that, you know, that again is what is so changed and so different in the landscape of American culture and American society. Not simply, you know, it's not simply about teaching, you know, the accounts from scripture, the history of what happened throughout the Bible. It's not simply teaching just theological points through education. It's then giving students opportunity to live it out.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's interesting. Jesus didn't just tell his disciples how to do ministry. He taught them, and then he sent them out in twos and said, go do it.
Yeah.
And then they came back and said, wow, look what's happening. Look what, this stuff really works. And look what happened. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's great. I knew you could do it, but don't get sidetracked by this. Here's what you need to keep your focus on. I mean, that's the kind of laboratory that Christian schools and Christian homeschools can provide for, you know, for making disciples that can practice their faith, that can get sidetracked and be redirected. And my goodness, Jesus, you know, changed the world with these 12 guys.
Yeah. I was thinking of Eugene Peterson's book, that wonderful title, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It's just it's a drip, and it's a time issue, right? Because, you know, time equals influence. So, you know, the difficulty of just a couple hours a week, if that's all you were to go to church versus everything else coming at you and you're not in a Christian school, boy, the net impact of that could be significant. Charles Potter, you may have heard this quote, was a early 20th century progressive liberal that came in and said, let's hijack the school system and use this medium to, you know, form kids to not necessarily love true, good, and beautiful things.
Right.
He said, his quote is, "What can theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week do to turn the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching?" And that's, you got 5 days to
100%
do something there. So yeah. What are your thoughts?
100%. Yeah. You know, when we were raising our children, it was back in the, '90s. And, you know, there were those who saw a shift, but in my rural, you know, Northwest Missouri corner of the world,
yeah,
you know, the principal of the public school was in the second row of on church on Sunday.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, the superintendent sat over here in the second service. I mean, you know, but I will tell you, you know, we're living in a day where making disciples is a real thing. Mm. And the education environment cannot be simply neutral regarding spiritual things if we're really wanting to form disciples and followers of Christ.
Right.
And again, that's the beauty, yeah, of Christian education is this environment that holistically through the, yeah, practice, not simply through the teaching, but even through the practice,
right,
is, you know, faith is woven throughout it.
Absolutely. Well, I want to take a break and I want to come back and have you speak a bit to just some of the wonderful resources that Herzog's uniquely providing, and really against the backdrop of the challenge about Christian education, of course, is that we're not a franchise, as sometimes I wish we were, because it would make it a lot easier. I mean, I always say sometimes it feels like, you know, it's the 1960s and we're hanging out with Truett Cathy and he figured out this thing called Chick-fil-A, and he, rather than franchise it, he just kind of talked it up. And so people came through and saw what he was doing. They went back to their town and found a chicken and found some oil and hope it all worked out. So, you know, the problem is that there's such inconsistency, well-intended, but trying to start a school, trying to find the right curriculum, trying to train the teachers, it's a huge, huge undertaking in addition to just the challenges that parents are facing. So how do we do this Christian school thing better is very much what you guys are solving and helping to resource. So I want to hear more about that because I think it has a great application for us as parents and as educators. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back and continue the conversation.
Every school year tells a story, but the quieter pages often go unread. A science experiment that sparks wonder, a teacher guiding perseverance, moments parents long to hear. Zipcast brings those stories to light. Each 10 to 12 minute episode blends local updates from your school with wisdom from national parenting and education experts that addresses the questions parents long to have answered. Nearly 100 schools are using Zipcast this year, and fall or winter can be the perfect time to begin. Learn more at zipcast.media. Zipcast, encouraging you on the go with what you need to know.
I know as a school parent and administrator that, like many of you, when I hear the word fundraising, it can make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But there's good news. Our friends at the Champion Group have created something different, a fundraiser that is simple and effective. The good news is there's no selling of cookie dough, wrapping paper, light bulbs, and it's one that actually brings in significant support for our schools. It's called Feed the Need, and at its core, it's a peer-to-peer fundraiser, but it's so much more than that. The campaign builds toward a powerful service event where students pack and ship 10,000 meals for families in need, both here at home and around the world. These meals don't just meet a physical need, they open the door for the gospel to be shared. And that's what makes Feed the Need so unique. It's not just a way to raise money, it is a discipleship experience. And giving students a hands-on service project at your school provides them an opportunity to not only connect your community to a greater mission, but it does provide your school with real financial resources that you need to thrive. Feed the Need is a fundraiser with eternal impact, practical, purposeful, and Christ-centered. To learn more about how your school can be a part of Feed the Need, visit thechampiongroup.com or check out our partners page on the Basecamp Live website. Daryl, I was saying right before the break that, using my little Chick-fil-A analogy, there's so many wonderful initiatives out there as far as families coming together saying, hey, let's do it differently for all the reasons we've already talked about. Let's start a school. Let's partner well with a school. This is not a small undertaking. And the beautiful thing about you guys are doing is say, hey, let's come alongside Christian families. Let's come alongside educators and let's learn to be more efficient and work more collaboratively. So what are some of those resources that you guys are intentionally putting out there?
Well, the board sent me out the first 6 months that I was on staff and said, go talk to seasoned people at Christian education, find out what the needs are. Where can we really bring lift to Christian education? So through that 6 month, 100 interviews with seasoned educators, it really became apparent there are three main areas where we feel like there's a gap, that if we could fill that gap, we could really be the catalyst for a movement to Christ-centered education across the country. So the first is simply helping to make parents, Christian and conservative parents, aware of the education options in America. So readlion.com became the first initiative that we rolled out with the idea of speaking directly to Christian parents and grandparents about what's going on in K-12 education. So we write a lot of articles about home education. We write a lot of articles about Christian schools, but we write a lot of stories that the mainstream media is not writing about what's going on in public education, with the idea of hopefully creating more students for Christian schools. So that's the first initiative that we embarked on.
And just a comment, because I've been in your building and I'm amazed. You guys have two stories of researchers and writers. I mean, you've got an amazing team of people. I don't know anybody that's doing what you're doing. And you said, 15 plus articles a day you guys are generating?
Yeah, we're writing between 15 and 20 articles every single day.
Unbelievable.
About what's going on in K-12 education.
Unbelievable.
So yeah, it's quite exciting and a very gifted team. We are so blessed by the people that God's allowed us to have here as a part of the Lion team.
Yeah.
And a part of our training team. So the Herzog Foundation Institute, we've recently rebranded all of our trainings because it's becoming so robust and so many different lanes of training that we're really, it's an institute, the Herzog Foundation Institute, where we are training. We have a menu of 25 different 3-day trainings on average, where we're helping Christian schools, be it the administrators or the teachers or the boards, with specific topics and experts to come in and help teach best practices in those topics, so that a school can literally, just as you said, rather than reinventing chicken, look, here's the recipe. Here's how you do this. Here are best practices for the best fried chicken available in Christian education. And so using that analogy, really trying to strengthen every single Christian school, 20,000 plus Christian schools across the country, with best practices.
Yeah.
And so we foot the bill for everything except for transportation. We say to every school and every homeschool co-op, you've got to get to our training on your dime. But once you get there, we'll put you up in a Marriott on our dime. We'll cover your food. We'll bring in the experts and we'll secure whatever venue. And we'll do 100 trainings in 2025.
It's unbelievable.
So given that these are 3-day on average trainings, we're doing 2 trainings every week somewhere in the country, trying to help strengthen Christian schools and homeschool groups across the country.
Well, I've just got to say, Daryl, privilege of being part of your team there as a coach with spiritual formation and the parent partnership, parent engagement. I laugh because so often people come understandably a little suspicious because, anything free in our world today comes with some catch. So it's like, okay, right. When's Daryl going to tell me about the timeshare here now that he's got me in the room? I can vouch there's no timeshare. It's legitimately a gift to Christian education. So like you said, if you can get to just name quickly, where are these main places?
You're
in Nashville. You guys have a presence in Smithville there. And Fort
I love
Lake.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So readlion.com lets create more students for Christian schools. The Herzog Foundation Institute lets strengthen the operation of 20,000 Christian schools across the country. And then the third missing piece is we need more seats. Strong Christian schools right now, Davies, across the country.
And so I'm sure some people are saying, wait, is this for parents? Can I come?
Call us in 2027. Maybe we can get them in 2027.
The ultimate parent Herzog retreat. You'd have like a waiting list for 5 years. But I know that educators, teachers, anybody inside that school building,
we need to launch more Christian schools.
Yeah, we'll keep going. So that's all the institute. Yeah.
And HF Homeschool both became platforms where we're able to scale across the country and launch Christian schools and homeschool groups every year, state specific by providing a mentor at our cost to help this concerned group of parents or pastors start this new thing in their community. In 2025, as we're recording this today, Davies, within the next 30 days, start of a new mm-hmm. academic year, we'll launch 225 new Christian schools in 49 states across the country.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure. Well, I've said before, if my wife and wow. I were to stand up behind an X-ray machine and you were to take wow. a look, you would say, oh my
that's
gosh,
pretty
look, they're
incredible.
The same.
Well, and the thing too, just to mention that I love about school boxes is that you recognize,
but our skeleton is
the same. Flavors of schools,
we're
into the classical Christian flavor in my world.
The eight steps are the same.
But the great thing about school boxes, of course, you've got
that it becomes uniquely
10 modules and 8 of them are kind of universal. Everybody's got to figure out how to put a budget. Everybody's got to figure out how to market.
So when we then you know, when you tell us what
option,
kind of school God's
where
put on your heart
with,
to launch,
you know, some of
then
the
we're going to
within
connect you with someone currently running that
you
kind
of
specialize
school,
who will be your
so
mentor.
Talk about that, because I think that's, again, a wonderful
steps
resource.
Yeah. In building the school to flesh it out to be uniquely what God's put on your heart to build.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. And then it's cool. Well, then it's cool. We're then able, once the school launches, to hand the baton, you know,
yeah,
to
of course.
The Herzog Foundation Institute
yep.
and help them in the ongoing day-to-day
operation.
It's
a beautiful
operation.
Model. Well, I know so. Stan is looking down with a smile on his face because it's
we pray so.
Great
we
work.
Pray so.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much. We'll include in our show notes links to these resources, but it's just as always so good to get time with you. Love what you guys are doing. I can't believe it's been 5 years now. So
yeah.
Wait another 5 and see what's going to happen. You guys are full of surprises and blessings. Blessings abound. But thank you for all you're doing and for your time here to be with me.
Well, thank you, Davies. And I feel the same way. Thanks for your heart and for your ministry. And always a pleasure to catch up.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Basecamp Live. Be sure to check out our website, basecamplive.com, for more than 8 years of timeless episodes that you'll find helpful and encouraging, as well as the helpful resources offered on our partners page. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of our partners like the Herzog Foundation. See you back next week.